Oral of History of the World by Terry Geary. Introduction. A very clever man called George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, 1770-1831, once said, "We learn nothing from history." Let's face it, you could be out there doing a million exciting or useful things, but you are reading this horrible history's book. When clever Georgie has told you that you'll learn nothing. But what does it matter if you learn nothing? Ever since the first horrible history's book appeared, they have been used for all sorts of things. To prove history teachers wrong, King Harold was killed by a Norman arrow. It was probably a sword, actually. To pester parents with endless questions and quizzes, what did the Aztecs use to cut out their victim's heart? To disgust grannies with foul facts at the tea table, before Robespierre was guillotined, his wounded jaw was nearly torn off. Horrible histories have also been used to prop up wobbly tables, block droughts under doors, and then turn up for toilet paper, but we won't go into that. So why are you reading this book? Because you don't believe Clever George? No, because this is not a book about history. It's a book about people, the most disgusting, evil, cruel, and horrible creatures on Earth. And this horrible history book is in full glorious color, the most popular color in it being blood red, of course. Our illustrious illustrator needed so much red paint to use a dye from 70,000 crushed cochineal beetles. Bloody art. Imagine that. The blood you see splashed across these pages is made from real blood and body bits. So here you have a book written to teach you nothing, for you to scream, shudder, and vomit over. Some sick people even find some of these disgusting facts funny. But you're not like that, are you? But beware, a famous U.S. president called Abraham Lincoln, 1809-1865, who was nearly as clever as George, said, "We cannot escape history, so watch out." Horrible history, no escape. Horrible hunters. Did you know Archbishop James Usher, 1581-1656, explained that according to the Bible, history began when God made the world in 400 BC. But sorry, God, Jim Usher was wrong. Probably. We'll find out when we die, and God will either be A, very angry because we said his Bible told lies, or B, laughing her socks off and saying, "I told you so," because her Bible was right all along. What do most people believe today? They believe that the first humans appeared over 2 million years ago. But because they couldn't write, there was no history. There would be fair history. Prehistoric is the posh word. And these first humans were brilliant. They survived a violent and wild world with no weapons until they invented them. No fire till they sorted it out. No clothes till they learned how to make them. Often. On the other hand, there were no teachers, no schools, no mobile phones, or other horrors we suffer today. So how did those prehistoric people survive and get to the top of the animal kingdom? By being more horrible than anything the world had ever seen. What a shame they couldn't write a million years ago. The stories they could have told. Torralba, near Madrid, Spain. 300,000 BC. Dear Diary, today we killed elephants. We hid in the rocks and jumped out on a herd of the funny-looking things. We waved our spears and screamed at them. They trotted away from us straight into the swamp. When their feet were truly stuck, we speared them over and over again till they were dead. We cut bits off. That was hard work, and carried them back to our camp to eat and eat and eat. I think I'm going to be sick now. They may not have had very good weapons, but they had invented hunting as a team. People still massacre elephants today for their ivory, not for food. In Europe around 70,000 BC, a type of human called Neanderthal lived, and they were even uglier than horrible history readers. Some of them had a very nasty habit. Croatia, 70,000 BC. Dear Diary, today we were hungry. We killed a few of our tribe and cooked them. I enjoyed breaking open the bones to suck the marrow. My dad liked the brains best. They were very tasty. But I would miss the chums I chewed, the buddies I baked, and the friends I fried. The Neanderthal bones of 20 men, women, and children were found at Carpina in Croatia, and bits of Stone Age brain suckers have been found in Italy. These people had discovered the pleasures of cannibalism, and it still happens in some parts of the world. But beware, the nasty Neanderthals became extinct around 30,000 BC. Not very surprising if they went around eating one another. Then modern humans became top ape. Around the same time, some humans made a marvelous journey. Australia, 30,000 BC. Dear Diary, Strip-Stir. This Arvo, we landed on a new land after a huge journey. Animals jumping around like they're on springs. And cuddly bears that taste great roasted. We'll have a Barbie on the beach. Can't wait to invent beer and cricket. Humans had invented sea travel and discovered Australia. They became very skilled hunters and survivors, till they were invaded in the 1700s by some simple savages from a country called Britain. But that's another story. Land ho! Oh no. By 20,000 BC, humans had learned to hunt by driving horses off cliffs to kill them. Remains of 100,000 horses have been found at the bottom of a cliff in France. That's an awful lot of horse burgers. But burgers are no good without buns. So 5,000 years later, Nile Valley, Egypt, 15,000 BC. Dear Diary, today Amun took two stones and crushed some corn between them. Waste of good corn, I said. But when he mixed the powder with the batter and cooked it by the fire, he had something very tasty. Wants to call it bread. Who can be bothered with all that baking work, though? Once humans had bread, they learned to grow crops of corn in the Middle East around 8,000 BC. Now humans didn't have to follow animals around the world to hunt and kill. Now they could stay in one place. But about the same time, early humans invented something else very nasty that is still with us. Nubia, Africa, 10,000 BC. Dear Diary, today we bury our friends. They were killed by another tribe who all ganged up to attack us with stone-tipped arrows. Tomorrow we are planning to do the same to them and get revenge. Joining together to fight those people in the next village is a new idea. I think we'll call this new idea there. It's exciting, but I don't suppose it'll catch on. Did you know cavemen worship bears by killing them? They danced around the bear and stuck spears into its lungs. Then they placed its head on a clay model of a bear and ate the rest. Oh, great one, we adore you, with ketchup and chips. Savage cities. About 6,000 years ago, humans decided they liked living together in groups and staying in one place. They began to gather in places with lots of houses. They needed a word for these. I think we should call it a compactly settled area as distinguished from the surrounding rural territory but larger than a village and an aggregation of houses recognized as a distinct place with a place name. Now, let's call it a town, because it's town below us in the valley. Then the towns became really huge and they needed a new word. Let's call it an important municipality of densely populated urban area. Now, let's call it a city, because it's where I go when I want to sit down. Of course, the first cities were dirty, smelly, dangerous, and great if you wanted to catch a disease, have your purse pinched, or your throat cut. And amazingly, after 6,000 years, they haven't changed much, and people still live in them. When would they ever learn? These ancient cities began to spring up in the Middle East in ancient kingdoms like Mesopotamia, Babylonia, and Assyria, and the rest of the world began to copy them. Some cities, like Troy, are still famous thousands of years after they were flattened and buried. They are remembered because of the stories that have been told about them. Troy story. Around 1200 BC, Prince Paris of Troy stole Queen Helen of Sparta from her husband and started a war that lasted 10 years. It grew into a legend. Everyone knows how the Greeks hid inside a wooden horse to get into the city. Think it's a trick. A horse, not. But some of the other nasty bits of the story have been forgotten. Hero Hector of Troy is speared in the throat by Hero Achilles of Greece. As he is dying, Hector pleads with Achilles, "Take my corpse back to my father to be buried. After all the trouble you've given me, I wish I could eat your miserable corpse." Charming, and he drags the body round the walls of Troy behind his chariot. The Greeks finally enter Troy inside the famous wooden horse. Of course the Greeks jumped out and started the slaughter of the Trojans. I said it was a trick. Sadly, you were right. The Trojans have a nasty little trick of their own. They take the armor off some dead Greeks and pretend to be Greek soldiers. They get really close to the Greeks and then slaughter them. That's cheating. So is wooden horses, mate. In the end, the Greeks kill the Trojan men and make slaves of the women. But what about the children? They throw them off the top of the city walls. Cruel kings. Ancient cities might not have been horrible places themselves, but the people who lived in them and the people who ruled them could be some of the most horrible humans in history. Ancient rulers had to be tough to survive. They got to the top by being the biggest billies. They always had to worry that a bigger billy would throw their big billion bottoms off their big brassy thrones. King Sennacherib ruled from 705 to 681 BC in ancient Assyria, northern Iraq, and southern Turkey today, he said. I cut my enemies' throats like lambs. I cut off their precious lives like string. Like the waters of a storm, I made the juices of their throats and guts run down onto the wide earth. My prancing horses plunged into the streams of their blood as they would into a river. The bodies of the warriors filled the plain. I tear out their private parts like the seeds of cucumbers. King Ashurbanipal, 668 to 627 BC, followed Sennacherib and was just as nasty. In fact, Ashurbanipal's horrors were so disgusting you should not read what he wrote about his enemies. To help you not to read about it, some of the words are taken out of this terrible tale. Fill them in yourself using your awful imagination. Oh, all right, you can have a few pictures for clues. Ashurbanipal said, their bodies had the blank and blank cut off, and I fed them to the blank, 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 and blank. I fed them to the blank in the heavens and the blank in the oceans. What was left I had taken from Babylon and thrown into heaps. Answers? The missing words in order are arms, legs, dogs, pigs, wolves, eagles, birds, fish. Ashurbanipal didn't even let the dead escape his revenge. He said, I broke into the tombs of the Ud, Elamite kings and led in the sun. I carried their bones back to Assyria. I stopped the priests giving them sacrifices so their ghosts were tormented. Nice man. Law and disorder. Now the people had towns and cities they could gather their precious things in one place. And all sorts of new horrible human things could happen. Now we could have burglary, mugging, fraud, and 100 other new ways of being wicked. So the first laws were invented. Today we have thousands of laws. And punishments. Some of our punishments are hard to understand. Judges send thieves to prison where they meet other thieves and learn how to be even better villains. But early punishments were easier to understand. 2350 BC, Mesopotamia, Urukagina's code. One of the first great ancient lands was Mesopotamia, Iraq today. And one of their first leaders, Urukagina, left behind 1,200 clay sheets with his laws written on them. Harsh laws. First write the word thief on a stone. Now throw the stone at the thief. I thought the Stone Age was finished. Splat. 2050 BC. Ur-Nammu's code. Ur-Nammu, ruler of Mesopotamia, came up with a new idea. My laws would protect the poor. I would sack the dishonest ministers. Hooray! And make criminals pay a fine. That's fine by me. And if you harm somebody, you pay them. Great idea. Sadly, Ur-Nammu died in a battle. His war chariot was stuck in the mud and he fell off. An ancient writer said that he was left dying like a crushed jug. His body was being taken back to Mesopotamia when the boat sank and was lost. Like a missing crushed jug. 1700 BC, Hammurabi's code. Hammurabi of Babylon went back to the cruel old ways. Hammurabi liked to match his punishments to the crimes. Chopping off hands for a lad who hit his dad. Burning alive for stealing from a burning house. Lopping off an ear for theft. Drowning for charging a customer too much in a pub. You kissed a married woman. How do you plead? Guilty, but take him and cut off his lips. But the man she is married to is me. And Hammurabi gave his ideas to the 10 most famous laws of our time. 1300 BC, the 10 commandments. The laws were written down in the Bible and they were fair enough. They said, don't kill, don't steal, and so on, but the Bible's punishments were pretty vicious. You put out a man's eye, you will have your own eye put out. I will be upset. You put out a man's tooth, you shall have a tooth put out. Fifth theme, death factory. You took a man's life, you will be, yeah, alright, I get the message. These old laws became known as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Your punishment must match your crime. That can be a bit harsh. If you poke someone in the eye by mistake and have your own eye ripped out. In 450 BC, the Romans went one better than the Bible. No, they went two better and came up with 350 BC, the 12 tables of Roman law. Roman laws were not all that fair because the rich got a better deal than the poor. Ur-Nammu had stopped that nastiness 1,600 years before, but at least it wasn't a straight death for death like the Ten Commandments. Here's a real Roman case. What would you do with the killer? A man was being shaved by his barber in front of his shop. Going anywhere nice for your holidays this year? When a boy arrived kicking a bell, and Beckhammer shoots and Beckhammer scores! But the bell hit the barber's arm, so his razor slashed the customer's throat. No, he's hit the barber! Hammurabi would have had the village throat cut probably, or even the barbers. But Rome was moving away from the savagery of the Stone Age. The judge said, "It was an accident. You are free to go." "So can I have my blood back?" "Of course." Did you know Alexander the Great, Greek ruler, 336 to 323 BC, made a rule that said his soldiers could not grow beards? Why? A. Alex was afraid of men with beards after being scared by one as a baby. Eek! Quite the style critic, aren't we? B. Alex thought they could be grabbed by an enemy in a fight. C. Alex had a beard and he wanted to be the only man in Greece with one. Terrible tombs. By 3000 BC, people in Europe were living in shacks made of mud and wood, but their dead families were being buried in beautiful stone tombs. You were better off dead than alive. Deader, but warmer and drier. They were also buried with weapons so they could fight off monsters in the afterlife. Spooky. 500 years later, in Mesopotamia, King Meskhalamdug went to his grave with enough friends and relations to have a party in the afterlife. They all drank poison and were buried with their king. I'm dying to go to the party, aren't we all? But the biggest and best carers for kingly corpses were the Egyptians. Their stone tombs just grew and grew till they became pyramids, the world's biggest stone buildings, just for a dead king. By 2620 BC, King Djoser's step pyramid was built covering 150,000 square meters of desert. That's a lot of sweating workers. And 100 years later, King Khufu, also known as Cheops, had the Great Pyramid of Giza built. Writing had been invented by 3200 BC in Mesopotamia, and now we could have written history and history tests. Great, eh? But just because the stories from ancient Egypt were written down, it doesn't mean they were true. Take the story of King Khufu, as told by the Egyptians. Goose magic. Scene 1, in the palace. Khufu. "Nary a slave, nary a..." "Yes, boss?" "Khufu, how's my pyramid coming along?" "It's going to be the greatest pyramid ever built." "Nary a..." "Oh, it's not coming along at all, boss. The workers won't work because you've run out of money to pay them." "Khufu, what am I to do? It's only half finished. There's no point in having a pyramid without a point. I'll be dead soon." "Nary a..." "Tell you what, boss. I've heard about a bloke called Jedi. Says he's a magician who could bring people back to life. He could keep you going long enough to get the pyramid finished." "Khufu, good thinking. I'm glad I thought of it. Send for Jedi." "Nary a..." "If you ask me, he's a bit of a fake. If you ask me, he just does tricks." "Khufu, well, I'm not asking you. Send for him." Music and stuff as time passes. Scene 2. In the palace later. Nary a..." She's the maid. "To Jedi. You're for it, sunshine. The boss wants you to prove you can bring something back to life, or you'll be bringing yourself back to life." Jedi. "I have a goose here in this box. Killed it this morning." Lifts headless goose out of box. Nary a..." "Very tasty. After you've brought it back to life, you can kill it again, and I'll have it for me supper." "Khufu, are you the magician?" Jedi. "I am Jedi, the greatest magician the world has ever seen." "Khufu, you'll be the richest magician the world has ever seen if you can bring the dead back to life." Jedi. "I have here a goose." "Khufu, never mind the goose. Nary a..." "I want you to go to the prison and fetch me a prisoner. We'll kill him and let Jedi here bring him back to life." Jedi. Panic. "You can't do that. No, you can't. It's against the law. Just let me show you what I can do with this goose." "Khufu, oh, go on then. A bit boring, but go on." Jedi. Puts goose in box and closes lid. Waves hands over box and pulls out live goose. "There you are, your highness." "Khufu, great stuff. Come back when I'm dead and do the same for me. I will reward you with riches beyond your dreams." Khufu leaves. Nary a..." "He nearly caught you there, sunshine." Jedi. "What do you mean?" Nary a..." "I mean the live goose was in the box all the time. You just switched it when you put the dead one back in the box. I'm not stupid like the king, you know. He'll have you executed if he ever finds out." Jedi. "You won't tell him." Nary a..." "I might. Unless..." Jedi. "What? What do you want? What is the price of your silence?" Nary a..." "That dead goose for me supper." Jedi. "It's a deal." Foul, foul facts. The Egyptian people had been around for such a long time, they said the ancient Greeks were just children. The Egyptians were a great nation with great kings called pharaohs, but here are a few foul and funny facts about them that you don't usually learn in school. 1. Hor-Aha reigned around 3050 BC and was on the throne for 65 years. but then her aha went hippo hunting and, uh-oh, aha, her, serves him right. I bet that hurt a bit, too. King Pepi II ruled from 2278 BC to 2184 BC, an incredible 93 years. But an ancient historian could have got his 9 mixed up with his 6. They look alike. Let's make it a 9, shall we? Pepi II ruled for 64 years. Yeah, let's make an amazing historical fact for the future, shall we? 3. Around 1663 BC, Egypt was invaded by the Hyksos, the desert princes, but the Egyptians fought back in bloody battles. Pharaoh Sekenenres been attacked by at least 2 people. He has head wounds from an axe, a spear, a club, and a dagger. I bet that hurt a bit. 4. Amenhotep III, 1386 to 1339 BC, defeated a rebellion in Nubia. They reckon he killed 312 people in an hour of fighting and took home the right hands of his victim. You lie down for a nap and wake up to find they've nicked your hand. It's not right. I bet that hurt a bit. 5. Pharaoh Seti, 1291 to 1278 BC, used Hebrew people as slaves. They begged to be set free, but he refused. So Hebrew leader Moses called for God to send disasters to Egypt. Rivers running with blood, probably red algae, actually. Plagues of frogs, cattle diseases, hailstorms. Ouch! And bills on the bum. I bet that hurt a bit. 6. Moses led the Hebrews to freedom when God made a path through the Red Sea, that actually was the Reed Sea, a shallow lake. An east wind made a dry path for them to cross. And the wind dropped as the Egyptians chased the Hebrews. It drowned them. Glug, glug. I bet that led a bit. 7. One of the greatest kings of Egypt was Ramesses II, who died in 1212 BC. Then the mummy makers tried a new trick to keep his nose in shape under the bandages. Stuff his nose full of peppercorns. An idea that's not to be sneezed at. 8. In the 520 BC, General Thanes betrayed the Egyptians by switching to the Persian enemy, but Thanes had left his sons behind at the mercy of the Egyptians. The Egyptians sold the lads to Thanes at the battlefield. Then we cut their throats over a large bill. We mixed their blood with wine and water and drank it. Superstitions and